All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Hentai Corner. I promised you some dark shit, and we've got some really fucking crazy dark shit. So, without saying much more, all I have to tell you is that this is from the creator of Maggot Bates. Yep, he's back, and this time with The Restless Sheep and The Lone Wolf, a tale of cutthroat lovers. Now, surprisingly, you will find this game on Steam. I have no fucking idea how that happened. Maggot Bates was never, ever, not, no way, ever gonna get on Steam. And Euphoria was never, not, no way, ever gonna get on Steam either. And Dead Days, I don't believe, is on Steam either. I'm not sure. It might be. But, anyway, this game has everything you could expect from a clock-up game. It's pretty fucked up. And that's your warning. There's a big red banner on this, or there should be. Because this game gets right into the thick of it. Like, shit's gonna get crazy from the beginning. And we're both gonna be like, ugh, by the end of this, I know. We're only gonna do an hour, because that seems right. We don't want to give away too much of the game. We do want you to buy it, and there's several places that you can do just that. There's also a Gaiden, which came with it. So, you can buy both that, well, there's a bundle. I think the Gaiden's a little cheaper, but you can get both parts of the game, which is that and the fan disc. That's awesome, right? You're getting the fan disc. Normally, you have to wait a while for the fan disc, but you're getting them both. So, you can pick it up at Steam, Jazz, USA, Manga Gamer, Kagura Games, and GOG doesn't have it yet, but they will. And I don't know how they're doing about that patch. I don't know if they're going to deliver that patch. I've asked Shira. Nobody's responding to me as of right now. I can go check real quick and see if maybe they did get back to me on that. It would be nice. Nope. Not getting any. Nothing from Shira on that, guys. So I do not know. Maybe they just don't know what's happening. So, I will say one thing. This game comes with a panic button. So the other games, Euphoria and Maggot Bates, absolutely did not have panic buttons, even when we wanted panic buttons. Basically, the panic button is like, I'm a pussy, I'm gonna walk out of here. Fuck this. I can't handle it. Now, I don't think I'm gonna hit the panic button, but you never know. It might get too fucking hardcore. But Grim, you sat through Maggot Bates, you sat through Euphoria, you sat through this, that, and the other, Starless, and Closed Game, and then all that. Why is this one gonna treat you different? I don't know. Maybe because it's fucking there. Anyway, let me shut the hell up and get going. Another restless, sleepless night. The JR Shinjuku station's winding, labyrinthine underground terminal. You pass through the crowd there, bumping shoulders with a passerby. When you finally climb up to the surface in the eastern entrance, you're greeted by the glow of diamond vision screens and the conspicuous signs of a well-established fruit vendor. Look left or right, it doesn't matter. Either way, cross whichever pedestrian crossing catches your eye and walk across the next block. You'll find yourself in front of a broad river made of concrete, a river of car traffic, its currents rapid in all hours of the day. This river is called the Tokyo Metropolitan Road, Route 302, aka Yasukuni Road. On the other side of this road that cuts through the beating heart of the metropolis of Tokyo from east to west stands the entrance to one large district, Kabukicho. It stands on the southern edge of Yasukuni Road to the west of Shinjuku Station's eastern entrance, on the northern end of Shokuan Road and the eastern end of Meiji Road. It's one special corner of Tokyo flanked by these four points in a warped square. The number of adult entertainment shops, eateries, and love hotels filling this district is the highest in Asia. A town designed to satisfy the lust of man. A place not unlike the city of vice that God burned down with fire and brimstone. If you have business with me, you need only head deeper into Kabukicho. Ah, no need to act so guarded here. The days when this city was a dangerous place are long gone. Oops. Excuse me. As it is now, Kabukicho is a wholesome pleasure district, same as any other in Japan. So as long as you're not a dangerous fellow yourself, you'll stay out of any major trouble. Kabukicho's First Avenue, Central Road, Sakura Road. I don't know why I did that. You can cut through any of the side streets. You'll run into illegal panders trying to solicit you for patronage, but just ignore them. And then, Shokan Road will come into view, marking Kabukicho's northern border. Cross that and you'll find yourself in a love hotel area neighboring Shin-Okubo's Koreatown. This block here is where I live, or rather, this is my residence come workplace. What do I do here? And how did I come to live here? Before I can tell you that, I'll have to go over a bit of personal history. It is indeed quite the important matter, a matter that goes to the very root of my being. They say Kabukicho is a town that never sleeps, but come dawn, the drunks and hostesses all slink back to their nest to sleep, which is only natural. But to someone who cannot sleep, even something that natural doesn't apply. And it's not that such people don't sleep, they cannot sleep, and that's nothing short of torture. I became afflicted with what is commonly called insomnia back when I was in high school. That was some 20 years ago. And in the 2 decades since, I have not once experienced the sweet bliss of quiet slumber. Everyone experiences nights where they can't sleep a wink, but imagine that lingering day after day after day. Night becomes an aimless time where you can only stir in your bed, haunted by the ticking of the clock. In a world where everyone sleeps at night, that absolute suffocating loneliness is akin to being sealed in a tomb. Spending your time between several minute-long spells of exhausted unconsciousness as you wait for dawn to come. This is my daily routine, the problem forced upon me. It doesn't matter how tired I get, both in mind and body. To make things worse, any sleep-inducing drug is one the body can develop resistance to. And by now, none of them affected me. So far, they work okay for me. So tonight, just like every night, I drag my sluggish body, feeling like my every blood vessel is clogged with sand, and go about my daily work. This love hotel, with its tenure of some 40 years, looks old-styled enough to get away with being called an old-styled inn. My job involves cleaning the guest rooms here. I push my cart, full of cleaning appliances and supplies, and take the elevator as I move between recently vacated guest rooms. I enter one room that had recently checked out. The scent of moist semen fills this dim, airtight room. The table is littered with empty beer cans and the radio is left switched on. I squirt some ethanol spray over the bed to sterilize it. I then flush any leftover beer down the toilet and empty the trash can into a plastic bag. It's full of used condoms and half-dried tissues. I then pick up the messy sheets from the bed along with any pubic hair that might have clung to them. I replace them with clean, newly laundered sheets. There's a trick to spreading sheets on the bed by yourself without leaving any wrinkles. I vacuum the floor and carpet, then do a pass-through with a lint roller. After that, I do the bathroom. I replace any wet towels and disposable toothbrushes, wash the tub, and clean the mirror with washer fluid. I swiftly and thoroughly go about my work, erasing any traces of human presence from the room. I feel like I'm some kind of reptile, not thinking actively and only moving on reflex. My fingertips alone repeat the motions mechanically, but my eyes haven't moved even once. I can tangibly feel that my reaction to outside stimuli is impaired by my chronic lack of sleep. Suddenly, I find myself looking at the washstand mirror. The white fluorescent light washes over the emaciated, expressionless face of a man who looks dead on his feet. My face. Me. I look terribly pale. The bags under my eyes are thick to the point of hyperpigmentation. My beard is growing ragged and messy. Yeah, same here. It must have been months since I lost the drive and motivation to regularly shave. Halfway through a yawn, I do that often enough that it may as well count as part of my breathing, my eyes water from a sudden spell of nausea. I spit the bitter, sticky saliva from my mouth and wash it away. I close my eyes, feeling a swirl in my semi-color canals, as my sense of balance shakes. My autonomic nerves are pretty thoroughly damaged. My stomach's quite devastated too. I have no appetite and haven't taken a shit in 5 days. My brain feels rotten as I can't manage a single straight thought. My body's no doubt nearing its limits. After all, this time I've been putting off sleep for nearly 2 months. If this goes on for another week, I'll probably go crazy and throw myself in front of a train or something. Looks like I made it just in the nick of time. Kept me waiting, you dumb fuck. I curse at Mamoru Togi under my breath. Me being the perfect example of a one-man business means that while I might cuss out my clients on occasion, I'd never do it to their faces. Having finished cleaning up, I dump the sheets over at the linen room. I put away my cleaning cart and take the elevator to the first floor and head to the office behind the front desk. I can hear the loud laughter of a late-night variety show. The unoccupied room's cleaned up. I report in to the crone who's watching the flat-screen TV from her seat on a vinyl-covered sofa. As she sips on green tea and munches on seeds and nuts, she turns her thin, crane-like neck to glance at me. Good work. Hotel Parisian owner, the crone. When did that room get occupied? There's a monitor panel for every room, and at some point, one of the rooms was now on, meaning a room got occupied. I remember it being empty when I started cleaning. Just now, client called a girl over from Yoon's place. A call girl client. So even if I take a break, there won't be a need for cleanup for the next 90 minutes or so. This being a Thursday night, traffic is lax, so I can probably focus on my main job without consequence. Going on break, I'll be heading out. Yeah, go on. I hold this brief exchange with the crone, who doesn't even look at me, and close the office door. I then take the elevator to the top, the fourth floor. Room 409, at the end of the hall, is the room where I live in. Let's try that one all over again. Room 409, at the end of the hall, is the room I live in. In place of a wage for my cleaning duties, I've been living here rent-free for years. It says free of rent, but rent-free is fine. I pick up my phone and open the message I got from Togi the other day, detailing his request. After confirming its contents, I delete the message like it's one of the used condoms I take out with the trash. I take off the polo shirt I wear for work here and stand half naked. I do this to confirm the movements of my muscles and bones. I can't use any tools for this job. All I can depend on is this scrawny body of mine. To say I feel like shit would be the understatement of the century, but if I don't do this tonight, I'd never sleep peacefully. Restraining the nausea and vertigo I get from just standing upright, I face the mirror set on the room's wall. I take long, deep breaths. The oxygen I suck into my lungs circulates through my blood vessels, and I wait for it to breathe life into my sleep-deprived cells. I focus my consciousness on my back. And then, I feel all the force drain from my muscles. I then use my body to swing my right arm swiftly, but without strain. I use no physical strength, only the force in my spine. Then I swing my left hand, weightlessly, without putting any force to my arm, like I'm just extending my fingers forward. A sound akin to a whip whizzing through air ominously fills the chilly room. The kinetic energy produced from swinging my arms travels through my body to my lumbar vertebrae. Twisting my body horizontally like a pelotron, I make the force of the recoil climb up to my upper body again. Using this increased energy, I once again lash my limp right hand out like a whip. The sound of the air being cut grows even sharper and swifter. I repeat twice, thrice, four times over. I'm keenly aware of the energy flowing through my body in a spiral. Allowing the force produced by the back and waist, the fulcrum of the body, to circulate through me and reach the limbs. I silently practice these methods unique to Southern Chinese martial arts, such as Tongbei Kong, After 15 minutes or so of repeating this, my body heats up and I sweat profusely. I finally feel like my will extends all the way up to my fingertips. I'm relieved, having confirmed that my body moves as well as I need it to. I then take off my underwear and take a shower. I alternate between hot and cold water, ensuring I'm awake in both mind and body. I change into street clothes and leave the room that serves as my place of residence. I head to the end of the hall where the elevator doors are. Halfway there, I head to the I hear the elevator jingle, marking it having just arrived at the fourth floor. The metallic doors part and the person inside steps out into the hallway. It's a woman, a young one at that. She must be in her 20s. A needlessly large bag dangles from her shoulder and she's wearing a fishtail parka lined with fur. Her attractive bare legs, visible under her hot pants, assert her youthfulness. Come to think of it, the client over in room 406 did order a call girl, didn't he? I don't recognize this chick, but she must be a sex worker dispatched from Yoon's place. The woman and I pass each other by in the narrow hallway without making eye contact. As she brushes against my shoulder, the aroma of sweet, natural perfume tickles my nostrils. It doesn't look like she saw my face, and a sex worker working at an illegal establishment isn't likely to stick her nose where it doesn't belong, anyway. And indeed, by the time I board the elevator, I'd all but forgotten the woman's face. I tap the button for the first floor, and the dirty old-styled elevator begins its downward descent. I suddenly feel my knees jerk. No, it wasn't just my knees. My whole body trembles. I hear my teeth clatter softly. What? My body's overcome by some inexplicable fit, and as I'm baffled by this mystery, the elevator arrives at the first floor. The doors open and I step outside. My knees have stopped shaking by now, and with this, any doubts I have about what just happened are gone from my mind. I walk over the filthy carpet, reeking of cigarette smoke and stained with gum, crossing the front desk and walking through the automatic doors to the hotel. The job ahead is already fully occupying my thoughts. The cold night air creeps into the gaps of my puffer jacket. It's nearly winter. The air is crisp and clear, and neon light with its low refractive index casts its colored rays directly at me. The wind stings against my cheeks. I hear the sound of footsteps from the overhead pass as I make my way to Shokuan Road. A foreign prostitute calls out as I pass by, mistaking me for a client, but her smile fades as soon as she sees my face. And so I cross the intersection and enter Kabukicho just as the date is about to change. I'm heading to the end of Hanamichi Street, an area of Kabukicho's 2nd Avenue that's packed with host clubs. Every inch of the wall here is covered in billboards decorated with the faces of attractive boys with blonde, brown, or black hair. I look around to find the man I'm looking for among the hosts hanging outside to draw in customers. A host in his late 30s with tan skin and a white dress shirt. I know what time of the night he'd be out calling out to customers. I spent the last 2 nights looking into him. What do you say, missy? It's just 3,000 yen an hour, all you can drink. The man calls out to a young woman in a school uniform walking through the richly colored streets. She still very much looks like a girl. Even in the red light district, girls like her are an unusual sight at this time of night. Is it your first time coming to a host club? We've got a selection of handsome boys. I guarantee you'll have fun. But the girl passes by, her youthful, handsome features not budging in the slightest. I pass the girl by and approach him, a lit cigarette in my mouth. Hey, show some restraint, would ya? That one was obviously too young for this, legally speaking. You're running a pretty risky business, aren't you? Noticing my lopsided smile, the man flashes his white teeth bashfully. Hey, that guy's art style looks funny. It'd be surprising if this is a prequel to Maggot Bates. Right? You're the guy from yesterday. Nah, normally I wouldn't approach high schoolers in uniform, but it's a real slow night, you know? The man knows me from last night when I stopped by to chat with him. I introduced myself as a barker for a nearby karaoke joint, and since we're both around the same age, we kind of hit it off. I take out my cigarette box, offering it to the host, and he thanks me and places it on his lips. Grimm's Dungeon of Degeneracy reminds you not to smoke, if you can help it. It's the same everywhere you go. It's getting hard even here in Tokyo. Maybe I'll go to Nagoya. What? You got some good business? The host's eyes instantly glint in a greasy manner. I blow out a think. Whew! We didn't do spell check on this, did we, guys? I blow out a thick puff of smoke and shake my head. As if. I'm bound hand and foot by debt all year long. The word debt makes the man instantly look away like he's lost interest in me. Black market debt with illegal interest, right? Just back out of it. I've gotten away with it before. I spout out the smoke, I spout out the smoke filling my lungs. The pale smoke covers our faces, obfuscating us from sight. Is that right? As I ask that suspiciously, he parts his lips to speak. At that moment, I take aim and swiftly lash out my limp arm. My right hand lashes out as strong and pliant as a whip and strikes the host's neck. The air whistles and the cloud of smoke clears. The host instantly turns expressionless and wordlessly pitches forward. What's wrong? I call out in surprise. The surrounding hosts and passerby turn to look at us. A few people immediately gather around us and I pretend to be a passerby and take out my phone to call an ambulance. Yes, it happened all of a sudden. Just please, hurry! By the time I hang up, the crowd has gotten pretty large. I mingle into the mayhem and evacuate the area with quick steps. I glance back at the scene to check. The host is gripping his chest with both hands, twitching atop the asphalt, only to suddenly go limp. There were no witnesses. No one noticed this was a murder. It all happened in the flash of an eye, and any investigation would conclude that the host died of heart failure. You might think it's strange that a blow to the neck would make his heart stop, but it's not strange at all. While the human body structure is more complicated than any machine, in many ways it's as simple as a contraption. The activity of all organs is managed by the medulla oblongata, which is part of the brain. Each organ transmits its signals to the medulla oblongata through the vagus nerves, which function like cords. These are all developed from part of the cranial nerves, making them extremely vulnerable to unexpected trauma. I aim for the vagus nerve in his neck to connect it to his heart, my blow making his heart completely malfunction. I guess you didn't get away with it this time. In place of a memorial address, I whisper this to the host whose name I've already forgotten. Just as he boasted, he was confident he could get away with skipping on paying multiple black market loans. If he had nerves of steel, he could hide behind the law. And if he had connections with the police, the law would protect him all the more. When you consider it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, morality means very little. But at the very end, he messed with the wrong person. Because the black market contractor he took money from was paying generously from protection from Mamoru Togi. Mamoru Togi, leading subordinate of the Oike Gathering? A secondary organization under the large area designated Yakuza group known as the S-Gathering. A shrewd big gun who effectively controls many organizations that make up Kabukicho's underground. He's said to be a major contender to become the next head of the Aoki Gathering, and is gaining popularity within the organization thanks to his fearless charisma and clear intellect. And more than anything, he's a ruthless man. He would never show any mercy, not even to a two-bit crook like this host. The host had an expensive life insurance policy. His aging mother was its beneficiary, but she'd already become Togi's accomplice. In exchange for receiving half the sum, she pestered and cried to her son, pressuring him into taking a 30 million yen insurance policy. In other words, while he was boasting about how he could get away with anything, his own mother sold him out. This was the plan that Togi came up with to collect on the inflated interest the host built up. I may have been the one to dispatch him, but I'm only one subcontractor in the business dealing. I'm sure at this point I don't need to explain who I am anymore. The thought crossing your mind right now is the right conclusion. Yes, I am a hitman. I make my living taking the lives of others, the kind of laborer you won't find in any job directory. It's been 8 years since I've started handling jobs given to me by the bosses of the underworld here in Shinjuku, but I'm not in this dangerous line of work for the money. There's only one thing that matters to me more than anything, and that's getting a good night's sleep. Only one thing can dispel the toxin that's keeping me restless, the anxiety that someone could kill me at any moment, and that's experiencing the power to kill others myself. I know all too well that just like that host didn't expect that he would die so suddenly, death can effortlessly and suddenly claim anyone's life. So I have to spend every minute of every day in fear of that. The man walking ahead of me in the street, his hands stuffed in his pockets. The woman standing behind me in the pedestrian crossing as I wait for the signal to change. Every single person I see is a wolf hiding, the latest potential to take my life. I know very well that reasons and motives don't matter. All that matters is they have the power to do so. Once the deed is done, you can come up with reason or motive after the fact. We're constantly being backed against the wall by the overwhelming weight of reality, and can only use our meager intellect to attach reasons and purpose to life without ever knowing if they're true. Even the power of the law, which promises us the boundaries of the world we live in, is revealed to be all too powerless in the most irreversible of ways at moments like this. I'm the biggest coward in the world who cannot for the life of me find respite from this inexplicable anxiety. So much so that I literally cannot sleep at nights. And so, that's why. Ah, what a good night. Right now, I feel more refreshed and bright than I've ever been in recent memory. It feels like the dark cloud of despair hanging over my head all this time has finally given way. And the night is blessing me at this moment. My hands have the power to kill others, relishing in this sensation as my sole respite from my cowardly sheep-like survival instincts. Even the air I breathe in feels different now. Submerged in the sensation of the whirling city lights embracing me, a soft smile plays over my lips. I can finally sleep again. I whisper dreamily as my legs carry me back to the love hotel I live in. Because tonight, I will be allowed to relish in the sole brief luxury I'm willing to put my life on the line to taste sweet, quiet slumber. Izami!
Domo! Live Girls no Izami desu. Kyou wa yonde kurete arigato ne.
Hello, I'm Izami from Live Girls. Thank you for calling me today. The plump 40-year-old man regards a young call girl who entered the room with an ill-mannered glare. The muddled lust in his eyes does little to mask his glee at having pulled a hottie this time, but his cold words very much contrast that. Listen to you, speaking fluent Japanese. You're probably some Chinese chick working away from home, huh? His lips curl, revealing teeth yellow from cigarette tar and plaque. His sticky saliva produces squelching noises in the process. Oh no, I'm a Japanese native, mister. Who the fuck cares? You're a stinking whore who opens her legs for mommy. The woman's smile doesn't budge at the clear scorn in his words, but her expression does stiffen when the man takes out a pair of metallic handcuffs and a vibrator. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't do bondage, and our store doesn't allow bringing in sex toys. What? Like I care, you dumb whore. You think you can tell your... Hold on. Hold on, guys. We can do better than that. What? Like I care, you dumb whore. You think you can tell your client what to do? The man instantly flares up at her. He slaps her across the cheek hard without any restraint. The snapping of his palm against her face echoes dryly through the room. One of his fingertips pokes her eyes, prompting the woman to screech and cover her face. But she soon takes on a fawning, tearful smile. I'm sorry, sir. I guess you just didn't know. Then I'll do bondage today, just for you. Course you are. What a waste of time. Hurry up and get naked. How about we take a shower together first? I can pleasure you while we get clean. Don't need it. Y'all trying to stall for time on me here? I ain't falling for it. The stench of smelly sweat hangs heavily over the man. Swallowing the bitter spit in her mouth, the woman has no choice but to nod and consent. How's this, mister? The woman. Oh, wow. This music is from Maggot Bates. No, seriously, go back. The woman, Azami, lets him put a blindfold on her and bind her hands behind her back. The handcuffs glint as they restrain her fair-skinned wrists. Her ankles are also tied up with a towel. With this, both her vision and her limbs are restrained. She looks like the very image of powerless prey. The man looks down at her with bloodshot, sadistic eyes. Keep your mouth shut. I swear, for a brat, you've got a lewd body. How many cocks have you tasted so far, huh? I haven't had that many. The woman answers his words in a puzzled manner. It's clear she's flustered by this overly sadistic client and is acting modest to placate him. Don't lie to me, you filthy whore. No one's gonna believe a word you're saying. You're nothing more than a walking, talking sex slave. Sleeve, guys. You're nothing more than a walking, talking sex slave, huh? It feels like he's depriving her of not just of her sight. We can do that again. Damn. It feels like he's depriving her not just of her sight, but also her human dignity. The woman lies on her side against the bed as frightened as a powerless animal. The man's eyes glint, excited with the prospect of being able to do whatever he wants to this woman he paid for. His expression shows he likes nothing better than situations like this and raises his voice vulgarly. I paid good money for you, so you better satisfy me so you're worth your price. You got that? I'm sorry. I'll be good, I promise. I'll do anything you ask, sir. Of course you are, because you're a dumb, brainless slut who opens her legs for money. The more she abases herself, the more the man gets carried away. He takes something out of his bag and brings it to the woman's crotch with swift motions. He forces the sex toy in, not caring one bit if she's wet or not. The man is holding a vibrator covered in lube. His eyes glare lustfully at its tip as it roughly pushes past the woman's shifted panties and into her slit. Ah, how do you like it? Did it feel good? Sorry, it hurts a little, just a bit. And Azami's voice trembles, her voice trembling again. She double trembles, guys, as she withstands the pain of something literally tearing into her body. If it hurts, get yourself wet. Ain't that your job? You do this every day, squeezing money out of men, right? So even if it hurts a little, you better pretend like you like it. The man hurls insults at Azami, making a show of his hatred of women. Is some kind of complex spurring him to do this, or just simple feelings of discrimination? With a vein bulging in his temple, he looks with excited eyes as he forces the vibrator into her slit. Ah, it hurts! It hurts! Azami can't restrain herself in face of the man's painful ministrations. Her voice tenses up as she begs for mercy, hoping he'll restrain himself. Shut your mouth! Ah, no hitting, please! But the woman's begging only has the opposite effect. The man grows more excited and in a show of further viciousness slaps her cheek again. I can't get it up unless I do this, and it's your job to cater to your client's taste, isn't it? Huh? His palm slaps the woman's sheet, producing a loud sound. The woman screeches and thrashes in an attempt to free herself. You got a pretty tight pussy for a shitty whore, don't you? Maybe I should loosen you up a little. Heh. Letting his dark sadism show, the man roughly moves the vibrator around, mercilessly gouging it into the woman's folds. Ah, don't do that, please, but forgive me! Man, I tell you, brats nowadays don't have a lick of tolerance. Of course, you know, no, don't. A zombie meets the man's ministrations not with pure pleasure, but physical reflex mixed with pain. Reflex, rather, not reflex. Physical reflex mixed with pain. This man can probably only interact with women through warped means like this. And even after all this, his penis is completely flaccid. His darkly colored member dangles limply from the man's crotch. But since there's a bit of pre-cum dripping from it, he is aroused by this somewhat. But since he can't get erect, he needs to rely on sex toys to intimidate her. She can't tell if the reason for his erectile dysfunction is psychological aversion to women, though. It really does hurt. Stop bitching and keep your mouth shut, whore. The man slaps her across the cheek once again. It leaves finger-shaped bruises on her cheek, which is already feverishly swollen. Do your parents know you do this job? Bet they don't. They'd probably cry if they knew their girls working such a terrible, humiliating job. So I'll punish you instead of your parents, you ingrate of a daughter. Wait! But the man shows the zombie no mercy, thrusting a second vibrator into her anus. But mister, I'm sorry, but I don't do anal. Shut up already, you stinking prostitute. You think chicks like you are in any position to make demands? Her flustered begging only flares up the man's anger and hatred. Women like you existing shouldn't be allowed, you fucking swine in heat. Ouch. Ah! Stop it! Stop hitting me! I'm sorry! I'm sorry! The sharp sound of his palm slapping her cheek rings out, rattling the air. The woman begs desperately, trembling in pain and fear. But the more modest she acts, the more overbearing the man became. Come on, come on, I'm gonna stick it deeper up your ass! Stop it, it hurts! Yeah! The man applies more force, pushing the anal vibrator deeper into her rectum. The woman lets out a scream as the large vibrator pierces her anus. She closes her eyes and grits her teeth. My butt, it's tearing, it hurts, it hurts! That's what you get for going against what your honored guest says. I'll just go harder. The man's red, bloodshot eyes glint in madness and excitement. The man then switches on the two vibrators stuck in her pussy and ass. The woman twitches violently and lets out a clearly pained scream like she's suddenly been electrocuted. Look at that pathetic face you're making. You really are a lewd, horny sow. Horny sow! Horny sow! Horny sow! Come on! Come on! Come on! Ah, stop it! Stop it! It's almost starting to sound like Alex Jones here a little bit. The intense vibrations stir a zombie's gentle folds, making her scream even louder. Ah, just spare me! Spare me! Ah, it's too hard! It's too rough! Gah! The woman thrashes like a reeled-up fish, struggling against a restrained body. Her non-stop ears are begging... Excuse me. Her non-stop tears, not ears, That would be a whole different kind of game. Her nonstop tears, you guys do see ears though, right? And begging are her only way out. But her pitiful screams are only having the opposite effect. The man's glaring eyes glint ominously and his flushed expression takes on a sadistic shade. Go on! How do you like this, you slut? This actively feels so good, you feel like you're gonna die, right? Huh? No more, please, no more! Just let me go! Shut the fuck up! You haven't even pleased me enough to pay half your price yet! This is where it gets good! The man's howl turns high-pitched with excitement. He picks him? Look, I'm just reading the script, guys. He picks him his flaccid penis and dangles it in front of the woman's face with maddened eyes. The drooping clock. I'm surprised it doesn't say clock. The drooping cock slaps hard against her cheek. The woman screams out, grimacing in pain, agony, and now disgust. What are you crying for? Taking cock is how you make a living, isn't it? Now he's starting to sound a little bit... What is that? Irish? Maybe? He uses his dangling dick to lick the woman's face. Wet spanking sounds fill the room. Please, just stop it. I'm telling you to make it feel good. It feels good. The tip of his glands brushes against her, the pre-cum clinging to her cheek. The sticky fluid clings to the woman's cheek like a snail's trail of slime. Go on, say it! Spank me more! It hurts when you go that hard! On top of tears and saliva dripping down her face, snot drips out of a zombie's nostrils. Her cries become further pain, her trembling lips helpless in the face of the man's animalistic violence, just like prey. Don't tell me it hurts! Say it feels good, dammit! Go on, hurry up and say it! It hurt! It feels good, sir! It feels good! The woman complies, saying the opposite of her thoughts to please the man. Oh, it feels good, does it? You feel good from having stuff like this done to you. You really are one subhuman horny sow, aren't you? There, say it! Spank me more! More! Spank me more! Both the woman's cheeks are now swollen and flushed over painfully. But seeing this doesn't spur any pity in the man, it only serves to fan his perverted desires. He breathes out a nasal snort and he rubs his cock against her face. More pre-cum seeps from his urethra with an obscene sound. The man rubs his dark-toned glands against her face, smearing obscene mucus all over her. Yeah. What? You prefer getting spanked? You brainless, vile slut who can't get through life without exploiting men for money? You happy, huh? Sounds like you're happy to me.
I'm happy. Yay!
Yeah, she really sounds happy, folks. The woman lets out pitiful sobs as he continues spanking his dick against her face. The saliva, snot, and tears running down her face stickily cling to the man's glands.
That right? Ha ha ha, you ugly, perverted fuck. All right, then I'll make you even happier then.
The man forces his withered dick into her mouth. His arrogance makes it clear he doesn't consider the woman he's committing this act on as his fellow human being for even a second.
Come on, suck it! I said suck on it, you skank!
He howls excitedly as the woman gags on the cock he's sticking down her throat. He pushes his crotch deeper in.
Mm,
Mister, too hard.
You talk a lot for a piece of trice with pussy and tits. Come on, suck on it harder. Suck it. Yeah, that's right. Just like that. You do know what you're doing. You spend every free minute of every day sucking cock after all. Oh!
The woman desperately looks his member, and the man looks up at the ceiling and moans. Azami squeezes her eyes shut, her expression terrified. But even so, she coils the roof of her mouth and tongue around the man's cock, pleasuring him as ordered. Is this good?
Yeah, it's good stuff, you disgusting perverted whore. There, you want to feel good too, right? You want me to shake up your pussy and ass like this, right?
The man's voice washes over with further madness. Without waiting for her answer, the man switches the two vibrators over to hard. So hard, that's too hard. As he uses the vibrators in a frenzy, the woman lets out a strained scream. She sucks harder on the man's dick, seeking to escape the intense stimulus.
Here's your reward, you filthy brothel bitch. Don't be shy, taste it. Suck it harder. I'm gonna come soon.
It seems the man is on the verge of climax, thank God. His voice roughens up as he continues insulting the woman in a show of sadism. It's shaking too hard. Bobbing her head like a Bobbing her head like a woodpecker, she wholeheartedly licks the man's shriveled penis. She uses the warm back of her mouth to massage his rotting glands, coiling her tongue around it time and again to send pleasurable tingles up his member. Wrong character. It's like, mister, I'm gonna.
You're pretty good at sucking dick, though it makes sense that that's all you do day in and day out. Here, I'm gonna come. You want me to come, you nympho?
The man is gasping and moaning excitedly, his skin in goosebumps as he spurs the woman on, informing her of the coming climax. I want you to come, mister. Come lots for me. Come for me. Come for me. Come!
Oh, I'm coming! Your mug is gonna be dripping with my cum. You happy?
The man's voice trembles as he fans the woman on, and he pulls back as he approaches the zenith. I'm happy. Please come for me. Come lots for me.
Oh, let it go. I'll make your stinking ass and filthy pussy come. Ah, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes.
I gotta wonder, does anybody here actually had sex like that? Well, when you're coming, you're like, I'm going! Like, it's like turning it into a fucking Super Saiyan levels of, yeah! The man howls violently and mercilessly thrusts the two vibrators into the woman's orifices. The large glands of the vibrators poke against her cervical OS. I didn't know she had an operating system, guys. And the depths of her anus. This forced assault from the vibrators forces a zombie into orgasm.
Ha, take that. Did that take you a Did that teach you a lesson, you fucking slut?
It seems she passed out, not from pleasure, but out of the overly intense stimulus. Looking at her dazed expression, the man squirts insistently. The man incessantly spurts cum onto her face like he's trying to stain it with a stench. Good lord, did they even put this through a pass? With wet, sticky sounds, the deluge of smelly cum splashes over her face. With her consciousness muddled, the woman lets out muffled moans, reacting to the semen washing over her nostrils and face.
Smelly cum suits you, slut. You should feel honored to eat sperm.
Thoroughly soiling Azami's face with his seed seems to have finally relieved the man somewhat. The woman can only lie languidly in front of him, moaning weakly. So that was actually kind of... I mean, it was hardcore, but it was basic. I mean, again, we're not pulling people apart, and... I mean, thank God. It's too early at night for that. At least gotta get up there into odd hours before we can start, you know, having people pulled apart and crazy fucked up shit like that. But we still got 30 minutes. We still got a little bit more to do, so hang with us. Again, we do not condone any of the acts in this game. It is just a hardcore game. You know what to expect when you clicked on it, and I hope you did. If you didn't, I mean, it's a big red thing that says not safe for life, which I kind of have to add now after that scene. There's no way I can put this on here with just a regular not safe for work banner. It's got to have the red banner. So, but you guys on the MGTOW, of course, you'll be like, oh yeah, we walked into that. You know what you're getting into. You guys got unedited maggot baits, if I recall correctly. Almost unedited. I think I edited out everything except for the scat. And yes, this game does have scat. I took the filter off, but I'm going to have to cut those out, you know, because we really won't deal with that. We didn't show it to you when it came to Sleepless. What was it? Great Deceiver? We didn't show it there? And you definitely don't want to see that scene I had to sit through. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe what I'm seeing. But this one, well, you know, we're gonna hopefully not get to any of that scat stuff. Hopefully not. I mean, god, it's too early in. Maybe later in the novel they'll deal with that. The vibrator still switched on, make a muffled whirring sound on the bed. So, was it good? After being thoroughly overwhelmed by the man, the woman smiled, her face still covered in his semen.
It was all right, Azami.
It's Azami.
Shut your fucking mouth, whore.
The man hurriedly put his clothes on, and leaving Azami cuffed on the bed, turns his greasy eyes to the sofa. Sitting there was the woman's large shoulder bag. Taking advantage of the woman being bound, the man starts sifting through it. Mister, that's my bag. You can't touch it.
How much did you earn fucking around today? Let's see, where's your wallet?
That's stealing. That's a bad thing, you know.
Shut the hell up, you're a fucking prostitute. Why are you talking like a decent human being?
The man laughs off the woman's protesting. To him, a sex worker is the worst kind of human being imaginable, and believes that no matter what he does to her, no one would judge him for it.
I mean, a young chick like you probably blows all your money on stupid shit anyway. I'll do a better job of pumping this money back into Japan's economy.
Damn. Spoken like a salary man. I see. So you're a bad person, mister. The woman watches the man go about his business silently, still cuffed. And then...
Ah! The man lets out an agonized howl like a dying animal. No, in this moment the man really is reduced to an injured, cornered animal.
That is also from Maggot Bates, the music playing right now. As he thrust his right hand into her bag, cold, merciless jaws of steel chomped down on the back of his hand. A startling amount of crimson blood shines in the room's dim lighting. This is a bear trap for hunting purposes. Its serrated, wave-like iron plates dig into the fatty layer of his skin, all the way down to his bones. As the man looks at his hand with gaping wide eyes, his mind is trapped in a non-stop merry-go-round of confusion, pain, and horror.
Why? How, for what purpose is this thing sitting? No! Why was this thing placed inside a young woman's bag?
By the moment he manages to compose that thought, the man's stiff, terrified eyes turn to the bed. At the same time, he hears a despairing sound of metallic popping. with their stainless steel chains severed, the handcuffs clatter to the carpet. The woman who was tied until just now calmly gets off the bed. She removes the reef knot of the towel binding her feet, not undoing the knot, but casually tearing it off with her bare hands. The towel tears off as easily as packing tape. You got caught in my trap because you're a bad person, mister. If you were a good person, you'd be going home after a good time right now. The woman gets up, the smile on her face no different from earlier. With serene eyes, she looks down on the bleeding, groaning 40-year-old man. Damn, he's 40. I mean, I'm 40, but I'm not that guy. Like, we could pretend to be all that, but yeah, I don't condone that. And I take better care of my teeth, too. I mean, damn, he's 40. They made him sound like he was 50 or 60 years old. Dude can't get it up at 40? Come on now, there's some shit going on. Sorry, I'll leave the commentary out. And when the man realizes the meaning of the term she's been repeating, bad person, he forgets the pain and screams out in terror instead. Because those words were like what the word prostitute is to him. They symbolize someone who could and ought to be punished and abused without any pangs of conscience. Conscience, not conscious. Completely different word there. And that despair turned into reality erupts from the man's lungs in a terrified scream. Me. In front of the battling center. Or is that the batting center? It's either the batting center or the battling center. We'll find out which in a minute. If people just start fighting and it's straight up fucking Double Dragon, then yeah, it's the battling center. Ah, can I have a minute? As I pass by the batting center, not the battling center, that again, that'd be different, on Hanamichi Road, someone calls out to me. The voice comes from the traffic of Koyakushu Road. Remember, I'm not Japanese, so I'm doing the best I can, guys. Koyakushu Road. I turn in the direction of the voice and see a man wearing a coat over a business suit approach me with a faint smile. He looks younger than me, just shy of 30. He's as tall as a professional baseball player and his shoulders are wide. He looks overall plain, but my intuition flares up an alarm that makes my pulse speed up. I'm with the police. Do you live around here? He opens a leather card carrier, flashing a golden badge with his portrait attached. He's a detective. Yes. I reply to his questioning with blatant disinterest. The man peers right into my face, still smiling. I try to keep my anxiety and irritation from showing in my expression. You know, I'm pretty confident in my ability to read people. As the detective starts talking about himself, I let out this genuinely puzzled utterance. Especially when it comes to criminals. And I'm extra confident when it comes to spotting killers. For the last 6 months... No, even before that, I've been pursuing a certain killer. Maybe that's why I developed this skill. The man's eyes occasionally flick over to the distance, like he's relishing a memory. I realize he didn't spot what I did earlier, which fills me with relief. I'm sorry, but I need to get back to work now, so... Saying this, I make to walk past the man, but at that moment, my body bumps into his. The detective walked half a step horizontally, standing in my way. Whoa! The man lets out a theatrical voice and looks down at the watch on his left wrist. What is it? 0018? 0018. Interference with a public servant. The moment I reflexively glance at his watch, too, he sinks a powerful punch into the pit of my stomach without warning. Well, it did become battling, the battling area, didn't it? The shock of the surprise attack knocks all the air out of my lungs. With flowing motions, he grabs my wrist, twisting it back and locking the joint. Akito, no, this is an arrest technique. My wrist burns in pain like it's about to be torn off. I struggle to free myself, but the man pulls me into a dark corner away from the light of the street lamps. Talk. He pushes my back against a parking lot's link fence, thrusting a knee strike into my crotch at the same time. I reflexively close my legs, but his kneecap sticks against my testicles. I almost throw up from the indescribable pain. Who did you kill and where? Or maybe you did something that bad and think you can get away with it. Like I said, I can read people like you. With me defenseless, the man swiftly rummages through my pockets. He pulls out my wallet and takes my driving license out of it. It's fake and so is the name on it, but it's well made. He wouldn't be able to tell from just a cursory look. Let's turn him up a little bit, guys. I don't know what voice gallery is. Let's just go to the settings. Volume. Music, master volume. Yeah, let's turn that. What are you? It's at this point that I realize something is clearly wrong with this detective. His fair features are contorted with what I can only describe as savage madness. Making light of me anyway, are you? Oh, I think you are. Scum like you always do. You always underestimate the society and the people trying to live in it. That's why you feel comfortable hurting, robbing, killing people without a second thought. You make light of your fellow human beings! He knees my crotch again. Pain and nausea shoot through me, and I go weak in the knees. Does this guy have a grudge against my fucking balls or something? He grabs me by the collar and forces me to stay on my feet, refusing to let me sink to the floor. I groan pitifully, remaining passive and defenseless as I observe him. Part of it is because he's a detective, of course, but more than anything, I need to understand what this inexplicable madness he has means. I need to understand this threat, and by understanding it, I'll find a way to survive. My cowardly survival instincts scream out at me to do so. I'm a sheep to the core. And then it happens. In the midst of suppressed pain, anger, and fear, I spot a familiar face pass by in the distance. It's the face of my goddess of salvation. Miss Ugai! Wow. Now, that right there, that's what I call a waifu. Say, what kind of waifu is this Grim like? That one. At this point, I raise my voice and shout. The tall woman walking 50 meters from me, her boots clinking against the pavement, stops in her tracks upon hearing me and turns to look. Miss Ugai, help me please! I didn't know anything but this detective, he's... A short-haired woman, oh, she's got abs too, good lord! Yes, sir! A short-haired woman dressed in a scarlet leather jacket and pants, Sayuki Ugai. Hearing me, she lets out an annoyed, audible clicking of the tongue. The fuck are you doing, Muraki? Don't get me involved in trouble, would ya? Oh, she's a detective. I'm Sayuki Ugai from East Shinjuku's Detective Department Section 4. Who are you? Haruhiko Nire. I am not sure, I'm assuming that's Nire, from the Tokyo Metropolitan Police Department's 1st Detective Division. Haruhiko Nire. The main office's first department? I didn't hear anything about the higher-ups asking for your help with any investigations. What are you doing on my turf? Upon hearing Nire's affiliation, Ugai's eyes fell with suspicion and caution. Nire finally frees me. I'm afraid I'm not allowed to share the details of this investigation. Incidentally, Detective Ugai, how are you related to this man? Ugai screws up her face in a fed-up manner and clicks her tongue. A Section 4 detective, in other words, she's in charge of dealing with the Yakuza. Wow. As a detective operating in Kabukicho, she's involved with many of this area's gray zone, including Yakuza. This woman is involved with many of these people's dealing. She'll look the other way in exchange for money. In other words, a dirty cop. Boy, I tell you what. It's always the ones I like that happen to be the most fucking crazy and dangerous of the waifus. Well, my other waifu is a sex trafficker. It's like, dude, why do you pick... This is why you didn't do good in relationships. You're like, hey, that woman's got tattoos, and she does drugs, and she's got the crazy hair, but... No. That's why it didn't work, guys. That's literally why it didn't work. It's like, you gotta stay away from her. And it's like, this is the one I want. It's like, is there something wrong with your head, sir? Yeah, that's why I play these games instead of being murdered somewhere, like in a treehouse. Real story, go look at that. Guy murdered in treehouse. Crazy woman. He's just an acquaintance of mine. He works at a love hotel and he's been useful to me a few times when there was trouble there. Oh, really? Useful to you, you say? Nire's lips curl sarcastically. A vein sticks out angrily in Ugai's temple. But she swallows her indignation and smiles defiantly. She doesn't want another department's detective digging through her dirty laundry. So what did he do? And don't say interference with a public servant. People around here actually trust me, you know? If you complicate things so we can't talk this out here, I'm gonna have to give your superior a call and have him explain what this is all about. Ugai's bluff seems to work. Nire's smile fades away. Apparently he doesn't want his superiors to know why he came to Kabukicho. Fine. He returns my license and wallet, leveling a cold glare at me the whole time. He then turns around and walks in the direction of Furin Hall and Kuyakusho Road. He doesn't turn to look back at us. Thank you. You saved my skin. As I thank her, I make to put away my wallet, but she snatches it out of my hands. She pulls out a 10,000 yen bill from my wallet and tosses it back to me. No complaints, right? Yes, of course. I'm sorry for troubling you. Anyone engaging in shady business in Kabukicho knows that this dirty cop isn't to be opposed. 1,000 yen is a small price to pay for scaring off someone as dangerous as Nire. Speaking of which, what was his problem? Ugai glares at the street Nire vanished into, clicking her tongue for the third time. She then throws a dirty sideways glance my way. Say, Meraki, what did you do to tick him off? I don't see a detective picking a fight with an employee in a love hotel for no reason. Her lips curl into a cruel smile. She grabs my collar and pulls my face closer. Her detective instincts as clingy as a serpent glint in her eyes as she picks up the scent of money.
I
I always thought you were suspicious. You've been in touch with some Chinese people. You sure you're Japanese? No, I don't know what he wanted from me either. He just punched me out of nowhere. I couldn't keep up. And I'm a natural-born Japanese. I just happened to pick up Chinese from my old job as a trader. If I turned out to be a foreigner illegally overstaying in Japan, it would lie in you guys' pockets. She could report me so the community safety section would owe her one or keep it a secret to squeeze me for hush money. Well, I'll at least leave it at that for tonight. But I'll be keeping a close eye on you from here on out. Better behave yourself. After taping me? No, you dumbass. We're not being taped. Not yet. I don't know what she's into. After tapping me, should be another P there then, shouldn't there, guys? After tapping me mockingly on the cheek, Sayuki Ukai walks away. I've got one scary woman watching me now, and I've got one scary boner. God, I'm out of luck. After a successful job, I ended up walking into some pretty messy trouble. But given I'd be sleeping lighter starting tonight, that's no big deal. I regained my good mood, for once I whistled jauntily as I walked back to the Love Hotel. When I return to the Love Hotel, I walk past the front desk and peek into the office.
Okaeri.
You're back. I instantly sense something's wrong, a sense of unease crawling down my neck. The crone looks at me with a baffled expression.
Baba,
did something happen, crone?
Ikeba wakaru yo. 406 da.
See for yourself, it's 406. She's talking about a room number. That's the room with the client and the call girl. The lamp marking it's in use is still on. I take the elevator up to the fourth floor and open the door with the plate number 406. Suddenly, an intense stench reminiscent of a fish market assails my nostrils. Well, I mean, let's be blunt about it then. A pool of cold blood stains the bed and the floor around it. The source of the puddle is lying on the bed, never to waken. A dressed middle-aged man, but the state he's in is grisly. Well, I guess I'm officially middle-aged according to this game. Damn, I thought it was 50. He's lying on his stomach, but his face, twisted in terror and agony, is gazing up at the ceiling. His neck had been twisted in an unnatural direction, resulting in his head facing the opposite direction. The pool of blood originated from the man's crotch, which is torn all the way up to his stomach. His long, long intestines had been dragged out and are sitting on the bed, coiled into a neat, bloody stack. It's shaped like a big stool from some kind of cartoon. The way it's situated behind his torn buttocks does make it look like a turd. But if this is supposed to be a prank, whomever pulled it isn't right in the head. So, without giving you too much detail, sometimes when people die, they kind of shit themselves, like the bowels evacuate. So, she killed him, and he evacuated himself. It happens. And I had some fancy grilled meat for dinner tonight, too. What a waste. I'm grateful for the old lady running this place, though. Called us before the police. The young man who was in the room ahead of me speaks to me with a tired, somewhat fed-up smile. There stands a short man dressed in a brand suit. Okay. His brightly colored hair and baby-faced smile looks no different from your average college student. Well, there's you some yoi candy, guys. Yaoi candy? Yaoi? I say yoi, but it's yaoi. Yaoi candy. But even so, this man is Yakuza. Oh, you just got wetter, didn't you? The ladies look... Oh, he's a Yakuza also! He's one of the young officers working under Mamoru Togi, one of the leading subordinates of the Aoki Gathering, the shadowy rulers of Kabukicho. His name is Shinsuke Kaeda. He is a gang member. Man, what a drag. A murder like this is definitely going to draw attention. And if that happens, it'll be all sorts of trouble. It's at this point that I realize that the corpse of the call girl he had invited over is nowhere to be seen. She was either taken away by whoever did this or bailed. But the problem was the pimp who sent her over. The woman is working for Live Girls, a girl call service, unapproved by the Business Affecting Public Morals Regulation Act. They pay Mamoru Togi protection money and serve as one of his sources of income. If the police start looking into Live Girls, their investigations could eventually lead them to the Aoki Gathering. Even Detective Ogai, who's in on the matter, can only do so much to cover things up. A murder incident, and one as ghastly as this one, is bound to draw media attention, further pressuring the police to embark on a large-scale investigation. I can see why Togi would be adamant to cover this up. Muraki, you're tight with the Chinese around here, right? Do you know any tight-lipped cleaners? We don't want to use someone from the group for this. I might have someone. But I think this over. The first face to come to mind is a Taiwanese fence called Meng Feng Da. He's well informed and knows people, so he probably has plenty of connections.
Uh-oh.
Then we're counting on you to get this cleaned up. Plus, could you come with me? The boss said he wants to talk to you. Kaida takes out a stack of bills, 1,000,000 yen. I accept it and follow him out of the hotel. That might be the last bit of money that you will see. I can't hold back a tired sigh. Just when I thought I slipped away from a rabid detective and a corrupt cop, I find myself saddled with a corpse. What a cursed night. We then get in a car and drive through midnight Kabukicho. Our destination is the Aoki. I will get it right eventually. The Aoki Gathering's office. It's in a quiet area a short distance away from the business district where expensive apartment and office buildings stand out. One such apartment building houses the Aoki Gathering's office. It doesn't look like it from the outside, but almost all of the building's floors were occupied by the office. I followed Kaeda through the lobby and noticed the lens of a security camera glint between the indoor plants. My eyes glance at the camera before I board the elevator up. We step off the elevator and the young Yakuza members guarding the doors greet Kaeda. They let us in and we knock on the door to Togi's office. Boss, I brought Muraki over. Standing next to a spacious mahogany desk is a man looking out the window at Kabukicho's lights flickering in the distance. He slowly turns to face us. Oh, man. His hair is combed back and his face is angular and sharp. His black eyes, hanging under thick eyelids, have an emotional coldness reminiscent of fake glass eyes. Sit down. Greeting me, Mamoru Togi orders me to take a seat with a voice as cold as his appearance would imply, and sits on a sofa. I sit across from him. By the way, guys, we're doing this scene and then we're done. That's all we're doing for now. He then sends a commanding glance at Kaeda, who goes to the safe, takes out a zippered bag full of bills, and places it on the table. Payment for your work this time. Take it. I pick up the bag, but feel the foreboding I've been harboring since before coming here brew inside me. He didn't need to call me here if all he wanted was to give me my payment. I need you to do another job for me. It's about the corpse discovered tonight. As expected, my grim premonition proves true. Togi grows straight to the point, and I, by contrast, try to think of how to get out of this. I I want you to track down the culprit or group behind tonight's murder and report to me. Money isn't an issue. Use however much you need. Tracking people down isn't my area. I sigh as he thrusts his unreasonable task on me and bitterly plead. My job is to kill specified people. Matters like their identity or whereabouts all need to be researched ahead of time, or I don't take the job. I'm not telling you to kill them. I just want you to track them down. I'm telling you I can't do that. I heave another heavy sigh and look up to the ceiling. Togi looks at me emotionlessly, like some kind of deep sea creature, and it feels like his gaze is rotting me from the inside out. No, you'll do it. After all, you need me. You can't turn down a request from me, right? Togi says this while remaining entirely emotionless. This is despite this effectively being an ultimatum where my refusal was not an option. An avaricious victor like him is always detached and emotionless. You need me. I hate to admit it, but he's right. For a freelance hitman like me, an employer that offers stable work is an absolute necessity. If I can't get work as a hitman, I can't sleep at nights. So to ensure that, I have to keep periodically taking on these gigs, and that makes Mamoru Togi indispensable for me. I'll give you the details via Kaeda. Or Kaeda. Sorry, guys. Kaeda. I expect detailed reports. This conversation is over. Silence means consent. Leaving me to be crushed under the weight of defeat, Togi ends the meeting and gets up. Left with no choice, I do the same and leave the devil's office behind. In my mind, I curse him over and over and over. When I get out of Kaeda's car, it's past 2 in the morning. I drag my legs, sluggish and exhausted from the events of the last few hours. I want to get back into my room and sleep right now. Togi's voice is still swirling in my skull. The realization that I'm nothing but his lapdog torments me. Shit. Spitting the word out bitterly does little to lift my spirits. The humiliation of being revealed for the bottom feeder that I am feels like it's been burned into my psyche with a branding iron. Even before meeting Togi and settling here in Shinjuku, I've been contracted to kill a few times before. But because of the nature of this work, it's rare for a past client to hire me more than once. A sustained relationship with the same hitman can become a fatal weakness for the client, as evidence and suspicions of past crimes are more likely to trace back to them. They also hate the idea of hitmen grasping dark secrets about them. To this end, they prefer not to maintain contact with previously employed hitmen. There are advantages to using the same hitman, but they're few compared to the cons. There were, in fact, a few times when I was nearly taken out after a job to ensure I was silenced. A case like Togi and me, where an employer maintains a one-on-one with a hitman, is quite unusual in this line of work, and it's only possible because he's absolutely confident that I cannot and will not betray him. I don't know where he gets that confidence. He doesn't know the exact reason I need to kill people. Maybe he can tell because he's just skilled at picking up on people's weaknesses. There was one time in my past where I killed someone outside of work. It's the event that set me down the path to becoming a hitman. Alright guys, so here is the deal. I want you guys to buy this game. If you like what you're seeing, please buy the game. I like the writing a lot. I like these characters a lot. There's so much in me right now that wants me to just throw all the rest of the coverage away and fucking play through this myself. Like, just binge it, straight up. Because I'm really into this now. But I can't do that live. So what we will do is we will have... maybe we'll cover... Okay, so we're going to do some more Dead Days because it's been a while. And we'll probably cover this again in February. And of course, we'll cover more dead days in February. I think if we space it out once every 2 months, it's actually good. Like, we can still cover the games, but it's not showing too much of the games. And it also leaves people enough time, you know, to have a purchase period. Because the only reason we're doing this right now is promotion. The game just came out. So we are not trying to give you an entire game at all. We are only showing you, this is the hour of the game, this is an hour or so of the game. This is what you're looking forward to. We showed you one H scene, one extreme H scene. And you guys know what to expect. There's even been some reused music from Maggot Bates in the game. It definitely has that vibe and feel, but it doesn't have the supernatural stuff, at least not yet. But I do believe there is a supernatural bit to this later. And of course, new waifu unlocked. I didn't expect that, because, you know, there are very few of these games do I find an actual, like, holy shit, I want to get a figurine of that character. Now, this one, probably not going to happen, but you never know. I'll keep checking. But at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time with more great hentai games. Matter of fact, it won't be much longer before we have Yamazome Revenger, Night Shift Nurses, and I don't know about the other clock up game, the, what was it, the superhero one, where the sadistic villains or whatever? Yeah, I don't know if that one's coming out this year. If it does come out this year, we'll have that too. This is becoming a very dark holiday season. I didn't expect it, but I didn't know they were like, hey, we're just gonna drop all the crazy shit in December. So, okay, we're down with that. And it happens to be right during the, you know, the Eroge part of the month. Or, excuse me, of the year. You know, we do Eroge AVN, Eroge AVN, Eroge AVN. So, it just happened to hit right in time. On time, rather. So, okay, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and I'm out. Make sure to pick it up again, guys. It is Steam. It is Kagura Games. It is GOG soon. Not quite yet. And I don't know if the patch is going to be there, so don't 100% me. You may only get a censored version of the game. Also, Jest USA and Manga Gamer. You can get them all there. And let me see if I've got a response from Shiravune before we go off so I can tell you 100% if there is going to be some sort of GOG patch. I don't know if they responded to me or will respond. No, I'm not seeing any kind of response from them, so we will see. By the way, the games are kind of on sale on Steam, which you'll still need the patch for, but you can get them for relatively cheap. It doesn't cost that much. You're paying about, 20-something. They're 28% off if you do the bundle on Steam. And I think maybe they have that discount on other places. These weren't that expensive. You're not paying $30 for this like you would for Maggot Bates or Euphoria or something like that. They are discounted. And you can buy them as a bundle. Which you need to do, because obviously the other is a fan disc and it's part of the series, and if you love these characters, you will want to see what happens next. So I don't know how long the game is, but you can go check that out yourself, and I am out of here. We'll see you next time, guys.